Part 1. The Army Leader. Person of Character, Presence, and Intellect. Part 1 highlights the critical attribute categories of character, presence, and intellect. All Army leaders use them to reach their full potential, from direct leader to strategic leader. The attributes support leadership actions valuable for continued development and effective performance. Chapter 2. Character. Foundations of Army Leader Character. A person's character affects how they lead. A leader's character consists of their true nature, guided by their conscience, which affects their moral attitudes and actions. A leader's personal reputation is what others view as character. Leaders who firmly adhere to applicable laws, regulations, and unit standards build credibility with their subordinates and enhance trust of the nation they serve. Influences such as background, beliefs, education, and experiences affect all soldiers and DA civilians. An Army leader's role in developing others' character would be simple if it merely required checking and aligning personal values with the Army values. Reality is much different. Becoming and remaining a leader of character is a process involving day-to-day experiences and internal fortitude. While education, self-development, counseling, coaching, and mentoring can refine the outward signs of character, modifying deeply held values is the only way to change character. Leaders are responsible for their own character and for encouraging, supporting, and assessing their subordinates' efforts to embody character. Character consists of the moral and ethical qualities of an individual revealed through their decisions and actions. Leaders must consistently demonstrate good character and inspire others to do the same. The close teamwork demanded to execute military missions at all levels requires that everyone in the Army share certain desirable character attributes. Character attributes that are of special interest to the Army and its leaders are Army values, empathy, warrior ethos and service ethos, discipline, humility. Army values. Personal values develop over the years, from childhood to adulthood. People are free to choose and hold their own values, but upon taking the oath of service, soldiers and DA civilians agree to live and act by the Army values. Army values consist of the principles, standards, and qualities considered essential for service. The Army values set expectations for conduct and are fundamental to making the right decision in any situation. Living, teaching, and reinforcing Army values is an important leader responsibility. The Army recognizes 7 values that all soldiers and DA civilians must internalize. Embracing the Army values is the hallmark of being an Army professional. Doing so represents a pact with teammates and the American people to be trustworthy and accountable. When read in sequence, the first letters of the Army values form the acronym LEADERSHIP. Loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, personal courage. Loyalty. Bear truth, faith, and allegiance to the U.S. Constitution, the Army, your unit, and other soldiers. The first order of loyalty is to the Constitution and the ideals upon which it is based. One cannot remain loyal to the Constitution by being loyal to those who violate it. To create strong organizations, superiors, subordinates, and peers must embrace loyalty. One way that individuals demonstrate loyalty is by upholding all of the Army values. With those values as a foundation, loyalty is a two-way exchange. Leaders earn loyalty, and subordinates expect loyalty in return. Leaders earn subordinates' loyalty by training them well, treating them fairly, and living the Army values. Subordinates demonstrate loyalty by working hard for their leaders and being as good as they can be at their jobs. Loyalty and trust enable the successful day-to-day operations of all organizations. Duty. Fulfill your obligations. Always do your best. All soldiers and DA civilians strive to do their best. Duty extends beyond law, regulation, and orders. Army professionals exercise initiative when they fulfill the purpose, not merely the letter of received orders. Leaders take responsibility for their actions and those of their subordinates, It is inherent in their duty to the larger organization, the Army, and the nation. Conscientious leaders and subordinates possess a sense of responsibility to apply their best efforts to accomplish the mission. This guides soldiers and DA civilians to do what is right to the best of their ability.
General Jonathan M. Wainwright, Corregidor Captivity. The Japanese invaded the Philippines in December 1941. In March 1942, as General Douglas MacArthur evacuated to Australia, General Jonathan Wainwright assumed full command from the Malinta Tunnel on Corregidor Island. Soon, the Japanese grip on the islands tightened, and the Philippine defenders at Bataan were surrounded without any support other than artillery fire from Corregidor. Disease, exhaustion, and malnutrition ultimately accomplished what thousands of Japanese soldiers had not done for 90 days. Bataan was lost. More than 12,000 Filipino scouts and 17,000 Americans became prisoners. Corregidor was in bad shape. General Wainwright directed the defenses with the limited resources available, making frequent visits outside the tunnels to check on his men and to inspire them personally. He was never fearful of enemy fire. A tenacious warrior, he saw men next to him die and personally returned fire on the enemy. He was a unique frontline commander, a fighting general who earned the loyalty of his troops by sharing their hardships. General Wainwright and his steadfast troops on Corregidor were the last organized resistance in the Philippines. After holding, unsupported, against the Japanese for a full 6 months, Wainwright had exhausted all possible means of resistance. No outside help could be expected. On 6 May 1942, General Wainwright notified his command of his intent to surrender and sent a message to the President of the United States explaining the painful decision. He was proud of his country and his men, and he had been forthright and loyal to both. His soldiers had come to love, admire, and willingly obey the fighting general. President Roosevelt reassured General Wainwright in one of his last messages to him, saying, "You and your devoted followers have become the living symbol of our war aims and the guarantee of victory." When the Japanese attempted to humiliate him personally by forcing him to march through the ranks of his defeated force, Wainwright's soldiers once again demonstrated loyalty and respect for their leader by struggling to their feet and saluting as he passed by. During more than 3 years of captivity as the highest-ranking and oldest American prisoner of war in World War II, General Wainwright kept faith and loyalty with his fellow prisoners, suffering deprivation, humiliation, abuse, and torture. Despite his steadfast posture in captivity, he feared return to America, expecting to be considered a coward and a traitor for his Corregidor surrender. Americans at home remained loyal to the fighting general and his courageous troops. To honor him and his men, General Wainwright stood behind General MacArthur during the signing of Japan's official surrender on the USS Missouri on 2 September 1945. General Wainwright returned home to a hero's welcome. During a surprise ceremony on 10 September 1945, President Truman awarded him the Medal of Honor.
Respect. Treat people as they should be treated. The Army values reinforce that all people have dignity and worth and must be treated with respect. The nation was founded on the ideal that all are created equal. In the Army, each is judged by the content of their character. Army leaders should consistently foster a climate that treats everyone with dignity and respect, regardless of ethnicity, gender identity, sexual orientation, creed, or religious belief. Fostering a positive climate begins with a leader's personal example. Leaders treat others, including adversaries, with respect. The discipline which makes the soldiers of a free country reliable in battle is not to be gained by harsh or tyrannical treatment. On the contrary, such treatment is far more likely to destroy than to make an army. It is possible to impart instruction and to give commands in such a manner and such a tone of voice to inspire in the soldier no feeling but an intense desire to obey, while the opposite manner and tone of voice cannot fail to excite strong resentment and a desire to disobey, The one mode or the other of dealing with subordinates springs from a corresponding spirit in the breast of the commander. He who feels the respect which is due to others cannot fail to inspire in them regard for himself, while he who feels and hence manifests disrespect toward others, especially his inferiors, cannot fail to inspire hatred against himself. Major General John M. Schofield, address to the United States Corps of Cadets, 11 August 1879. Selfless service. Put the welfare of the nation, the Army, and your subordinates before your own. Selfless service means doing what is right for the nation, the Army, the organization, and subordinates. While the needs of the Army and the nation should come first, selfless service does not imply leaders should neglect their families or themselves. Unselfish, humble leaders set themselves apart as teammates who are approachable, trustworthy, and open to follower input and advice. Selfless leaders aspire to attain goals for the greater good, beyond their own interests and benefits. Honor. Live up to Army values. Living honorably, in line with the Army values, sets an example for every member of the organization and contributes to an organization's positive climate and morale. How leaders conduct themselves and meet their obligations to the mission, other people, and the organization defines them as people and leaders.
Sergeant David B. Bleak, Minarigal, Korea, 14 June 1952. Sergeant David B. Bleak, a medical aid man, volunteered to accompany a combat patrol tasked to capture enemy forces for interrogation. While moving up the rugged slope of Hill 499, the patrol came under intense automatic weapons and small arms fire multiple times, suffering several casualties. Enemy fired at Sergeant Bleak from a nearby trench while he tended the wounded. Determined to protect the wounded, the brave aid man faced the enemy, entered the trench, and killed three enemy soldiers with his bare hands. While exiting, a concussion grenade fell in front of a fellow soldier. Bleak shifted to shield him from the blast. Disregarding his own injury, he carried the most severely wounded soldier down the hillside. Attacked by two enemy soldiers, Bleak lowered the wounded man, put both adversaries out of action by slamming their heads together, and then carried the wounded American soldier to safety. Sergeant Bleak's courageous actions saved fellow soldiers' lives and preserved the patrol's combat effectiveness. For his actions, President Dwight D. Eisenhower awarded him the Medal of Honor on 27 October 1953.
Integrity. Do what is right, legally and morally. Leaders of integrity consistently follow honorable principles. The Army relies on leaders who are honest in word and deed. Leaders of integrity do the right thing because their character permits nothing less. To instill the Army values in others, leaders must demonstrate them. As an Army leader and a person of integrity, personal values should reinforce the Army values.
Lieutenant Vernon Baker, Viareggio, Italy, 5 to 6 April 1945. Lieutenant Vernon Baker of the 370th Infantry Regiment demonstrated leadership by example near Viareggio, Italy, during his company's attack against strongly entrenched German positions in mountainous terrain. Fire from several machine gun emplacements stopped his company. Lieutenant Baker crawled to one position and destroyed it, killing three German soldiers. He then attacked an enemy observation post and killed two occupants. With the aid of one of his men, Lieutenant Baker continued the advance and destroyed two more machine gun nests, killing or wounding the soldiers occupying these positions. After consolidating his position, Lieutenant Baker finally covered the evacuation of the wounded personnel of his unit by occupying an exposed position and drawing the enemy's fire. On the night following these events, Lieutenant Baker volunteered to lead a battalion advance through enemy minefields and heavy fire. Two-thirds of his company was wounded or dead, and no reinforcements were in sight. His commander ordered a withdrawal. Baker protested that they could not withdraw, they had to stay and fight. Lieutenant Baker stands as an inspiration to not only those who served with him. He stood courageously against the enemy and stood proudly to represent his fallen comrades when he received his Medal of Honor.
Personal courage. Face fear, danger, or adversity, physical and moral. Personal courage is not the absence of fear. It is the ability to put fear aside and do what is necessary or right. Personal courage takes two forms, physical and moral. Effective leaders demonstrate both. Physical courage requires overcoming fears of bodily harm and doing one's duty. It triggers bravery that allows a soldier to take risks in combat in spite of the fear of injury or death. For leaders, mission accomplishment may demand risking their own lives or those of soldiers and justly taking the lives of enemies. Moral courage is the willingness to stand firm on values, principles, and convictions. It enables all leaders to stand up for what they believe is right, regardless of the consequences. Leaders who take full responsibility for their decisions and actions, even when things go wrong, display moral courage. Moral courage also expresses itself as candor, being frank, honest, and sincere with others. Carefully considered professional judgment offered to subordinates, peers, and superiors is an expression of personal courage.
Warrant Officer Hugh C. Thompson, Jr. My Lai, Vietnam, 16 March 1968. Warrant Officer 1 Hugh C. Thompson, Jr. and his two-man helicopter crew were on a reconnaissance mission over the village of My Lai, Republic of Vietnam. Warrant Officer Thompson watched in horror as he saw an American soldier shoot an injured Vietnamese child. Minutes later, he observed more soldiers advancing on a number of civilians in a ditch. Suspecting possible reprisal shootings, Warrant Officer Thompson landed his helicopter and questioned a young officer about what was happening. Told that the ground combat action was none of his business, he took off and circled the area. When it became apparent to Thompson that the American troops were firing on more unarmed civilians, he landed his helicopter between the soldiers and a group of villagers headed toward a homemade bomb shelter. Thompson ordered his gunner to train his weapon on the approaching soldiers and to fire if necessary. Then he personally coaxed the civilians out of the shelter and airlifted them to safety. Warrant Officer Thompson's immediate radio reports triggered a ceasefire order that ultimately saved the lives of many more villagers. Thompson's willingness to place himself in physical danger to do the ethically and morally right thing was a sterling example of personal and moral courage.
Values and beliefs. Values and beliefs affect how people think and act. People join the Army from a society with diverse personal values and beliefs respected within the standards of legal and ethical behavior. Variation in upbringing, culture, religious belief, and tradition is reflected among those who choose to serve in the Army. Such diversity provides many benefits for a force globally engaged around the world. Good leaders value this diversity of outlook and experience, and must treat all individuals with the inherent dignity and respect due every person. All leaders have the critical responsibility to ensure that subordinates adhere to the Army values, as well as standards consistent with the United States Constitution, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and Army rules and regulations. The United States Constitution, which all soldiers and DA civilians swear to uphold and defend, reflects the nation's values and is the legal foundation for both our government and the rights of individuals. At times, tensions can arise between individual beliefs protected by the Bill of Rights and the provisions of the Uniform Code of Military Justice or other Army rules and regulations. If this tension arises, it often centers on issues of religious belief, which, while protected by the Constitution in general, could conflict with a specific military rule or regulation. If such tension arises, commanders will lead their organizations consistent with the Army values while making decisions pursuant to DoD and Army policies. Values and beliefs create a foundation for ethical conduct. Adhering to the Army values is essential to upholding high ethical standards of behavior. Unethical behavior quickly destroys organizational morale and cohesion. it undermines the trust and confidence essential to teamwork and mission accomplishment. Consistently doing the right thing for the right reasons forges strong character in individuals and expands to create a culture of trust throughout the organization.
Captain Humbert R. Versace, Vietnam Captivity. Captain Humbert Rocky Versace was a West Point graduate assigned to the Military Assistance Advisory Group as an intelligence advisor during October 1963. While accompanying a civilian irregular defense group engaged in combat operations, Versace and two fellow Special Forces soldiers were taken prisoner. They were forced to walk barefoot deep into the jungle. Once there, Versace assumed the position of senior prisoner and demanded the captors treat them as prisoners, not war criminals. He tried to escape four times, once crawling through the surrounding swamp until he was recaptured. He garnered most of the attention of the Viet Cong so that life was tolerable for his fellow prisoners. He was their role model. He refused to violate the code of conduct, giving the enemy only information required by the Geneva Convention, which he would recite repeatedly. When other soldiers operated in those remote areas, they heard stories of Versace's ordeal from local farmers. Speaking fluent Vietnamese and French, he would resist his captors loudly enough that local villagers could hear him. They reported seeing him led through the area barefoot with a rope around his neck, hands tied, and head swollen and yellow from jaundice. His hair had turned white from the physical stress. The farmer spoke of his strength, character, and commitment to God and country. On 26 September 1965, after 2 years in captivity, he was executed in retaliation for three Viet Cong killed in Da Nang. Versace's remains were never found, but a tombstone bearing his name stands above an empty grave in Arlington Cemetery. Ironically, he was just weeks from leaving the army to become a missionary before being captured. He wanted to return to Vietnam to help orphaned children. Most of all, he is remembered as someone with strong character and beliefs who never gave in. For his bravery, Versace received the Medal of Honor and induction into the Ranger Hall of Fame at Fort Benning.
Ethical reasoning. To be an ethical leader requires more than merely knowing the Army values. Leaders must be able to live by them to find moral solutions to diverse problems. Ethical reasoning must occur in everything leaders do, in planning, preparing, executing, and assessing operations. Ethical choices may not always be obvious decisions between right and wrong. Leaders use multiple perspectives to think about ethical concerns, applying them to determine the most ethical choice. One perspective comes from a view that desirable virtues such as courage, justice, and benevolence define ethical outcomes. A second perspective comes from a set of agreed-upon values or rules, such as the Army values or constitutional rights. A third perspective bases the consequences of the decision on whatever produces the greatest good for the greatest number as most favorable. Leaders able to consider all perspectives applicable to a particular situation are more likely to be ethically astute. When time is available, consulting peers and seniors is often helpful. Chaplains can provide confidential advice to leaders about difficult personal and professional ethical issues to encourage moral decisions in accord with personal conscience and the Army values. Leaders should not intentionally issue vague or ambiguous orders or instructions to avoid responsibility or accountability. Leaders have a responsibility to research relevant orders, rules, and regulations, and to demand clarification of orders that could lead to criminal misinterpretation or abuse. Ultimately, Army leaders must accept responsibility for the consequences of their actions and the subordinates who execute the leader's orders. Ethical orders. Making the right choice and acting when faced with an ethical question can be difficult. Sometimes the situation requires a leader to stand firm and disagree with a supervisor on ethical grounds. These occasions test one's character and moral courage. Situations in which any Army member thinks an order is unlawful can be the most difficult. Under typical circumstances, a leader executes a superior leader's decision with enthusiasm. Unlawful orders are the exception. A leader has a duty to question such orders and refuse to obey them if clarification of the order's intent fails to resolve objections. If a soldier perceives an order is unlawful, the soldier should fully understand the order's details and original intent. The soldier should seek immediate clarification from the person who issued the order before proceeding. If the question is more complex, seek legal counsel. If an issue requires an immediate decision, as may happen in the heat of combat, make the best judgment possible based on the Army values, personal experience, critical thinking, previous study, and prior reflection. Chances are, when a soldier disobeys what may be an unlawful order, it may be the most courageous decision they make. The soldier's rules codify the law of war and outline ethical and lawful conduct in operations. CAR 350-1. They distill the essence of the law of war, the Army values, and inform ethical conduct. Empathy. Army leaders show empathy when they genuinely relate to another person's situation, motives, or feelings. Empathy does not mean sympathy for another, but a realization that leads to a deeper understanding. Empathy allows the leader to anticipate what others are experiencing and feeling, and gives insight to how decisions or actions affect them. Leaders extend empathy to others in both their leader and follower roles. Leaders with a strong tendency for empathy can apply it to understand people at a deeper level. This applies to DA civilians, soldiers, and their families, local populations, victims of natural disasters, and enemy combatants. Empathy enhances cultural understanding and enables an Army leader to better interact with others. Empathetic leaders are better communicators, help others to understand what is occurring, and inspire others to meet mission objectives. During operations, Army leaders gain empathy when they share hardships to gauge soldier morale and combat readiness. They recognize the need to provide reasonable comforts and rest periods to maintain morale and accomplish the mission. Army leaders recognize that empathy includes nurturing a close relationship between the Army and Army families. Army leaders at all levels should promote healthy families and relate to the challenges they face. Empathy for families includes providing recovery time from difficult missions, protecting leave periods, and supporting events that allow information exchange and family team building. Warrior ethos and service ethos. The warrior ethos, contained within the soldier's creed, represents the professional attitudes and beliefs that characterize the American soldier. It reflects a soldier's selfless commitment to the nation, mission, unit, and fellow soldiers. DA civilians, while not soldiers, embody the principles of the warrior ethos through a service ethos embedded within the Army Civilian Corps creed that shapes their conduct with the same commitment. Leaders develop and sustain the warrior ethos through discipline, commitment to the Army values, and pride in the Army's heritage. Embodied by soldiers and supported by DA civilians, the warrior ethos is the foundation for the esprit de corps that permeates the Army.
The Soldier's Creed. I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and I live the Army values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. The Army Civilian Corps Creed. I am an Army civilian, a member of the Army team. I am dedicated to our Army, soldiers, and civilians. I will always support the mission. I provide leadership, stability, and continuity during war and peace. I support and defend the Constitution of the United States and consider it an honor to serve our nation and our Army. I live the Army values of loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. I am an Army civilian.
The warrior ethos requires unrelenting resolve to do what is right, regardless of the mission. Understanding what is right requires respect for everyone involved in complex missions, such as stability or defense support of civil authorities' operations. Ambiguous situations, such as when to use lethal or non-lethal force, are a test of the leader's judgment and discipline. The warrior ethos creates a collective commitment to succeed with honor. The warrior ethos connects soldiers of today with those whose sacrifices have sustained America's existence. The warrior ethos is crucial, but soldier commitment may be perishable. Consequently, the Army must continually affirm, develop, and sustain its warrior ethos. The key to the warrior ethos is a mindset developed through purposeful mental preparation. Growth in character, confidence, composure, mental agility, and resilience are outcomes of internalizing the warrior ethos, as well as the service ethos of DA civilians.
Task Force Kingston, Yongsan-nai, Korea, November 1950. Second Lieutenant Robert C. Joe Kingston, a platoon leader in K Company, 3rd Battalion, 32nd Infantry, was the lead element for his battalion's move northward. The terrain was mountainous in that part of Korea. The weather, bitterly cold, the temperature often below zero, and the cornered enemy still dangerous. Lieutenant Kingston inched his way forward, the battalion gradually adding elements to his force. Soon, he had anti-aircraft jeeps mounted with quad 50 caliber machine guns, a tank, a squad, later a platoon of engineers, and an artillery forward observer under his control. Lieutenants who outranked him commanded some of the new attachments, as did the tactical air controller, a captain. Lieutenant Kingston remained in command. The battalion headquarters began referring to the growing force as Task Force Kingston. Bogged down with casualties mounting, Task Force Kingston received reinforcements that brought its strength to nearly 300. Lieutenant Kingston's battalion commander wanted him to remain in command. One of the attached units was a rifle company, commanded by a captain. Nonetheless, the cooperative command arrangement worked because Lieutenant Kingston was a very competent leader. Despite tough fighting, the force advanced. Hit while leading an assault on one enemy stronghold, Kingston managed to toss a grenade just as a North Korean soldier fired a shot that glanced off his helmet. The lieutenant's resilience and personal courage inspired every soldier from the wide array of units under his control.
Discipline. Discipline is the soul of an army. George Washington, Commander, Continental Army 1775-1781, and President of the United States 1789-1797. Discipline is essential to character, just as it is to an organization. All leaders must demonstrate self-discipline, the ability to control one's own behavior, to do the harder right over the easier wrong. Doing tasks to the established Army standard without deviation reflects discipline. Individual discipline supports the unit or an organization. At the unit level, leaders maintain discipline by enforcing standards impartially and consistently. Often this involves attending to mundane details, which may seem less urgent than an organization's key tasks, but are necessary to ensure success. Examples include preventative maintenance checks and services, pre-combat checks and inspections, effective command supply discipline programs, organizational inspection programs, and training management. When enforcing standards, soldiers expect their leaders to do so in an impartial, transparent, just, and consistent manner.
Discipline in the face of the enemy. Iraq, 28 February 1991. About a half hour prior to the ceasefire, a T-55 tank pulled up to an American Bradley unit that immediately prepared to engage with tube-launched, optically-tracked, wire-guided, commonly called TOW, missiles. A vehicle section consisting of the platoon sergeant and his wingman tracked the Iraqi tank, ready to unleash two deadly shots. Suddenly, the wingman saw the T-55 stop. A head popped up from the commander's cupola. The wingman immediately radioed his platoon sergeant to hold fire, believing the Iraqi was about to dismount, possibly to surrender. The Iraqi tank crew jumped out and ran behind a sand dune. Sensing something was off, the platoon sergeant immediately instructed his wingman to investigate the area while he provided cover. To everyone's surprise, the wingman discovered 150 enemy combatants ready to surrender. To deal with this large number of prisoners, the Americans lined them up for disarming and checking for items of intelligence value. Then the unit called for prisoner of war handlers to pick the Iraqis up. Before moving on, the platoon sergeant had to destroy the T-55. Before blowing it in place, the non-commissioned officer had the tank moved behind a sand berm to protect his people and the prisoners from the shrapnel of the onboard munitions. When the tank suddenly exploded and the ammunition cooked off, the prisoners panicked, believing the Americans would shoot them. Quickly, the soldiers communicated that this would not happen, one saying, "Hey, we're from America. We don't shoot our prisoners."
Humility. Humility, in its simplest form, is the absence of arrogance. It is a sign of a leader being unselfish, working towards something more important than themselves. A person of high integrity, honesty, and character embodies the qualities of humility. For humility to apply, a leader must first have competence and confidence. A leader with the right level of humility is a willing learner, maintains accurate self-awareness, and seeks out others' input and feedback. Leaders are seen as humble when they are aware of their limitations and abilities and apply that understanding in their leadership. Humility exists on a continuum. Too little humility represents arrogance or hubris, which may lead to overconfidence. Excess humility is problematic because it is interpreted as shyness, meekness, passivity, blind obedience, or timidity. Either extreme signals a lack of self-awareness that undermines followers' trust and confidence in the leader's ability to make good decisions, look out for the unit's welfare, and to achieve success. It is difficult to judge our own humility. One's humility is largely determined by other people. It is a subjective perception of the leader. Humility is interpreted differently by different genders and cultures. Individuals need to guard against their biases and assess character based on the whole set of Army values and attributes.